Welcome everyone to our Roku's Diet Circle call for November 2019. This is November 21st, and it's kind of interesting. We're on the old system, which changed and has gotten much worse for some reason. And so we were actually planning on doing a whole new platform today. And it was all set up to go, but then our PG&E, which is our power company, the electrical power company in Northern California, they shut off the power yesterday because of concerns about fires because of high winds. And so then when the power's down, we actually have a pretty good setup with our solar panels and the house battery and all that, so everything works fine. We don't even know the power goes out, actually, although our neighbors are usually having to run generators or go out to eat or whatever. But the problem is that the Mediacom internet that everybody uses, it's pretty much the only one here, that goes down. So I have to use my cell phone to get online, and it's really not a very reliable way to do things. So I said we would go ahead and use the old system one final time, which is tonight. And then starting next month, I'm really committing here to doing Zoom no matter what. I think, what we're aiming for, because this system is not so good anymore, and I wasn't planning on using it. But the Zoom actually is pretty interesting because, and I'm really grateful to Deborah, this wonderful woman who is a World Peace Facilitator, was with us in Marin County for our retreat, and she had the idea to try Zoom, and it's a web-based, a lot of you probably already know all about it, but this opens up a lot of more doorways, and people can still just, you can still just call in on your phone and listen. That works perfectly well, and it's even a little better because you can also call in on your computer and use audio on your computer, and if you're paying for a call or something like that, you don't have to pay for a call. But it also gives us the opportunity to have video so we can see each other and send notes to each other and all kinds of things. So after whatever it's been quite a few years. I think we've been doing this for about 7 years. And thought it would be nice to try something new. So starting next month, I'm hoping that we will be able to use the Zoom. Next month on the third Thursday, we will be in Taipei, Taiwan. So it'll be maybe challenging, but I looked at the calendar and so Thursday, it's December 19th, is the third Thursday at 5 p.m. here, is the following day at 9 a.m., so Friday. So for me, I could probably call in Friday at 5 a.m. and we could do a Zoom call and see each other and have a good time. So that's where we're at right now with everything. And I apologize for a little bit of confusion because of PG&E, and also I wasn't expecting to use this system anymore. And it seems to be worse than ever. but thanks for your patience and good spirits here. They can't stop us. The vegan movement is unstoppable, so we'll just keep going forward. And so I'd like to go ahead and just begin, as we usually do, by taking a few minutes and just relaxing and centering ourselves in this present moment, which is the perfect unfoldment right now of life and love and awareness in our world. Here we are, our past and our future and our present all fall away, and there's just this moment. And so let's do that together for just a few minutes. So wherever you are, make yourself comfortable, and we take a moment to just feel into our precious life, this precious human life that we have. We never know how long it will last, so we're grateful for all the circumstances that brought us to this planet at this time, with the challenges that are species and all beings are facing at this time, that we are able to be part of the solution to these problems and to these crises that we're facing, that every day we're working as best we can to connect with others of like mind and also to connect with our own mind of wisdom and compassion and awareness, creativity and healing, and connect with our inner feelings that have jewels of wisdom to show us. Our feeling of reverence and awe at the beauty of this earth and of the other animals with whom we share this planet and of other human beings. I think we're doing so well in many ways, considering the massive amount of woundedness that we all endure just being born into this society, and to have our spirits shining forth and being an example for others. So we give thanks for all the others in our world who are on this journey with us, our close friends and family and people who are in our life. And we give thanks to everyone who's in the movement and who is on the path of awakening and working on the healing, not only of our own consciousness, but the healing of our society, our ecosystems, of our relationships with animals and with each other. We give thanks for all the progress that we're making over these last few years in our own lives individually. And we're creating a culture of progress, a culture of moving forward in consciousness and awareness, taking risks, trying new things, and being a force for questioning the official narratives in our society. We give thanks for the beautiful animals on this earth, all this wonderful celebration around us, the birds that we see, the fishes that we see and are aware of, all the animals celebrating their lives here, plants, the trees, the ecosystems, the communities, the vast complexity of life. And we know that our time here on this earth is relatively brief. So with that awareness, we dedicate our time to what is most essential and take joy in the opportunity to do so and to see the best in others and to understand the deeper truths beyond the shallow surface appearances. And we give thanks for all the efforts that everyone is making, knowing that we are an integral part of the awakening of humanity at this time, that we are, with every day, creating new opportunities for healing and awareness, creativity and joy in our world. No effort is ever lost. We give thanks for the delicious foods that we're able to share, and beyond that, the harmonious relationships and the adventure of this life to discover what lies beyond the challenges that we face and the doorways that we can see and the doorways beyond what we can see right now. We know that as we go through these doorways, we get more wisdom and inspiration to share with others. To the power and presence of the infinite light, source of all life, we give thanks. And so it is. Wow, great. So I'm delighted to be able to share a little time with you. Madeline's also with me right here on the call. And we're getting ready at this point to depart exactly 1 week from today, which is Thanksgiving Day, to Asia, Southeast Asia. We'll be flying one of those long flights. We leave on Thursday night, about midnight, and we arrive on Saturday morning, finally, in Bali, after going to Taipei and then transferring. And we'll be doing a lecture tour. I think you all already know that, but I'll just say briefly, to quite a few cities in Southeast Asia, Jakarta and Singapore and Kuala Lumpur, Penang, and through other ones, I think Bangkok and Chiang Mai, Taiwan, so about a whole 10 days in Taiwan. So it's about a month. We'll be back on the 26th of December. And I'm really grateful to all the people who have been arranging everything over there. There's some great vegan groups in Indonesia, in Malaysia, in Singapore, in Taiwan. And some of them are sort of facilitated by Westerners who live there, Americans or Europeans. Some of them are facilitated by, of course, the local people. We'll be speaking a lot, I think, to Buddhists, a lot to some to Muslims, Christians, and others of various backgrounds. And it's a universal message. I think that's the key thing to remember. So when we get back, we'll have more to share, but hopefully we'll be able to talk while we're in Taiwan, and we'll do the Zoom platform so you can maybe see a little bit where we are. Those of you who are on the have the video capability. So if you have any questions, I'd like to, you know, always emphasize that at the beginning. And would like to ask something or share something, either a concern or a joy or a question, press star 6, and that will make it obvious to me here, hopefully, if all goes well, that you are trying to raise your hand. Okay, so looks like, let's see, at this point, there are a couple of people that have their hands up. So I'm going to unmute Antoinette, who's joining us from Tucson. I know Antoinette. Mel and I just met Antoinette recently. She was with us on our recent retreat that we had, a World Peace Diet Facilitator training retreat in Marin County, about just north of San Francisco. A really beautiful place. It's a vegan retreat center. Kind of out in the in nature, and a Buddhist, a wealthy Buddhist, who also is a World Peace Diet facilitator, actually, bought this property, and he just basically gave it to the vegan meditation community, spiritual community, and so it's only to be used for retreats, and that are vegan and meditative in nature. So I just thought, well, we got to try this out. And it was so wonderful. We had a beautiful time, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And we had people coming from all over California and beyond. We had someone from Canada, from Toronto, joined us. But anyway, Antoinette was there from Tucson. And we're going to be going to Tucson, actually, in a couple of months. So it would be, I thought it would be nice, actually it's great, maybe to hear a little bit from Antoinette about the experience at the retreat. So I'm going to go ahead and unmute the phone. Let's see.
Hello?
Good. Hi. I hear you. I think everybody hears you.
Great.
Hi.
Hi.
This is great.
How is my volume? Yeah.
It's good. Yeah, it seems
okay,
perfect,
great.
I would say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. I've got the earphones in, and I don't usually do this, so I just wanted to make sure I sound all right. Yes,
right.
So hello, everybody. Antoinette here. Yes. So did you just want me to tell a little bit about my experience at the retreat?
Well, I thought it would be nice. You know, so everybody knows I sent a quick email like 10 minutes ago because I was thinking, well, I can talk about the retreat, but, you know, it'd be nice to have somebody else besides me. So
sure,
if you want
to
say something, that would be great.
You bet. Yeah. You bet. Well, first of all, it was just, you know, life-changing, honestly. I have not really done any retreats before that I can think of, and I did become vegan in February of 2015, after hearing Dr. Tuttle speak in Tucson. But since that time, I was just doing the thing of being a vegan on my own and keeping it to myself. And then also, you know, being kind of the depressed, despondent kind of vegan, you know, so sad and kind of paralyzed over the animal, you know, situation. But going to the retreat was just wonderful. The sense of community, it was a beautiful location, just so perfect for that kind of a gathering. And, you know, getting up each morning and doing yoga with Madeline for half an hour was awesome and a great way to start the day. And then, you know, to meditate for a half an hour with Dr. Tuttle, and then to just hear, you know, him speak about the World Peace Diet, you know, philosophies, and about, you know, veganism and being a vegan in a pre-vegan world. So, yeah, it was, I learned so much. I was inspired. I made some friends. And since I got back, I mean, really, I've been a changed person. It's I've been taking little notes because I imagine sharing it somehow someday, whether in a book or a blog or something. But just being more in tune with my commitment and my awareness of being a vegan and, you know, representing that and taking action. And let's see, one of my favorite things that I noticed was about, this ties in a little bit, but it's about the food sharing. You had to be there, but Dr. Tuttle shared a story about being in the monastery and not even wasting one grain of rice. So ever since then, I have just been so mindful about my eating, and literally there's not one grain of quinoa, you know, left on the on any bowl, and I make sure to mindfully eat my plant-based food, and I just am eating it with more joy. So I'm renewed and fired up. I love it. And more active now, getting into Facebook groups. And I signed up for and got accepted for Challenge 22, and I'll be starting that in a couple of weeks. But yeah,
what is that? Challenge
22 is a Facebook support group. So it's for people who are wanting to go vegan and to try it out.
Yeah.
They get a mentor. So somebody mentors them via Facebook, and it's a 22-day challenge for them. You know, and each day there's something for them to do, you know, make a totally vegan meal or, you know, go shopping and, you know, buy XYZ. I don't know what all the challenges are going to be yet, but I just know that, you know, it's a very well-structured and well-organized program via Facebook to help people who are trying out veganism for the first 22 days and or for 22 days and getting support from somebody who's been, you know, vegan for a while.
Great. So you're going to be a mentor then. Is that right? You signed up to be a mentor?
Yes. Yes, I'm going to be a mentor. So, yeah.
Awesome.
So, you know, yeah, if you ever have another one or when you have another one, I mean, I can't recommend it enough. And I would imagine, you know, like I said, for people who've been vegan for years, you know, just to get that sense of community and to get inspired and get a deeper, you know, I got a much deeper understanding and appreciation for what, you know, what we stand for and what we're doing and the opportunities on this earth, you know, to make a difference in this lifetime. So for that, I thank you and Madeline.
Oh, thanks so much, Antoinette. It was really wonderful, obviously, great that you, to have you joining us and to have so many, like you say, I felt the same way. The community that of people we had was absolutely so precious. Everyone contributed so much to the to the time, so we learned so much from each other. That was great, and I have to say something too. The food was really good too. Thank you, Madeline.
Yes, it sure was.
For the, and all the helpers. We had two or three committed helpers. Veronica did her vegan stand-up comedy routine at the very end, which everybody loved, I'm sure. And Ted gave us a PowerPoint presentation of bringing tofu to, where was it, Bolivia, I think. I was talking about Bolivia. Yeah, and so there was a lot. There was many different exercises and things that we did. But it was really just so great to be able to get together and have that community's support. So, yeah, Madeline and I are both thinking that it's been too long. The last time we did one in the United States was a few years ago. We've been doing them a little bit when we travel overseas. But so I think we'll definitely try to do one at least every year in California, Northern California. And we'll have to see, maybe we'll do a few in other places too, because I think it's a great way to go deeper with the teaching and to just build vegan community, which is probably one of the most effective ways, I think, to have our movement go forward. So thanks, Antoinette. Anything else you want to share? Or that was beautiful. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I think that pretty much covered it. Thank you for having me share.
Great. All right. Thanks. So I just I want to thank everyone who helped so much with that retreat. It was one of those things where it was a little bigger than we knew what to do with all the food to organize and the venue. Was our first time, but somehow all the angels appeared and everything went so well and so many people helped. So we just know that I think really with everything, it's all about the ripples. You know, we do the best we can, I think, to act with a pure motive and do something that will be a blessing in the world, and then the ripples go forth, and there's probably no way to ever know how the ripples connect with other ripples and connect with other ripples, and we affect each other in profound ways. So it's, I think, a very important thing to always remember in the back of our minds, that we're always creating ripples, and to do the best we can, that they're in alignment with our actions and our, well, with our values, that our actions and our values are aligned. So let's see, anyone else want to say something? I think I'm trying to look and see here if we've got any other hands raised. I don't think so. Good. Okay. Where are we here? So, there was, I was going to ask Jeanette. Jeanette is, I think, here also. If she'd like to say a little something, and I know she said she's on a cell phone. It doesn't work all that well, but perhaps. But anyway, let's see, is this going to work? Jeanette, are you there? I just thought I unmuted. Oh, there we go. I think it worked. Are you there, Jeanette?
Yes, I am. Hi.
Oh, good. It did work. Hi. Yes. Jeanette was also with us this weekend. It was actually a few weekends ago. And was just also, just you were so great. It was so great to have you with us. Do you want to say a few words about our retreat before we kind of leave that subject?
And go on to other things?
Yeah,
I would love to.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought the whole thing was wonderful. I loved it all. And I think probably the favorite part of it is just to being around like-minded people and just sharing a lot of tender moments. I liked the exercises that we did with one another. I loved the food. It was wonderful. Second Antoinette, what she said about the yoga in the morning, that was wonderful. I second Antoinette and everything she said. It was an ability to... an opportunity to go deeper, and I feel re-inspired, and it was just lovely, just lovely.
So. Great. Well, thanks. I know it's kind of hard to give the to convey to people who weren't there like what it was. So.
That's
the problem.
Right. And it was nice.
Yeah.
I really liked, all the things we did officially, but also like the staying up late at night and talking to our bunk mates and everything. It was all just special.
Right.
The whole weekend was special.
Right. Yeah, it was a beautiful chemistry, really, with everyone. Yeah, it was perfect.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Jeanette. Much love. Thanks for joining us. Yeah, thanks. All right. So there's a few things I wanted to share this month. And as I say, feel free to press *6 if you want to jump in and ask a question or say something. And I'm doing my best to keep track of who's on the call because this new system is difficult. It's on multiple pages. But the resources that I sent out, I think I have on there, or maybe I don't. Oh my gosh, we have on there Madeline's Intuitive Kitchen, 3 new videos she did, and I helped creating buckwheat smoothie and orange avocado dressing for salads and vegetables. Buckwheat smoothie is amazing. We have that every morning now, so it's a regular smoothie kind of more or less. I mean, a lot of greens from the garden, but we put buckwheat in it, and it's got more of a stick to your ribs kind of smoothie. It's all fruits, and it's really great. And then the Irish avocado dressing is fantastic too for salads or for veggies. And then a vegetable quesadilla. And these are going to be, all three of them, plus a banana ice cream and chocolate sauce, she's going to be teaching in Taiwan when we do a cooking class there. She does a cooking class there, and that's going to be videotaped too. So I think it's kind of fun that we're creating these recipes to share with the people over in Taiwan. And, I don't see it on here for some reason. I think it was an oversight on my part. I wrote an article called Our Beckoning Future, and I wanted to talk a little bit about that as part of this third Thursday call to focus on as far as the teaching, because it's so easy, as Antoinette mentioned, to get depressed and down when we're in this movement and we're aware of the terrible violence being committed by humans, really, all the time on defenseless animals who really are innocent and vulnerable in our hands, and the slowness, really, with which we seem to be able to make any progress. So one of the things that I think is important to do is to not only look at what's happening in the world, and also, and not only look at what has happened in the past, and sort of the historical factors that have driven us to where we are now, but to look at the future, in a sense of having a vision that can inspire us every day in our lives to work toward. And my sense is, at least in my own life, that there's this beautiful, I don't know what to say, you know, I was going to say rosy, you know, it's not, I don't mean rosy in a shallow way, but a beautiful future for humanity and for this earth and for all beings here that is beckoning. And it's nothing stopping us. It's available to us. It's in our true nature to manifest this beckoning future. And I think we all feel it in our bones on some level. When we look out and we see the beauty around us on this earth, we see spectacular beauty in flowers, in birds, in, you know, just in trees, in ecosystems, in the cooperation, and the miraculous unfolding and abundance of life. It's really mind-boggling. I think it's hard for us, I think, sometimes to pull away from long enough our pressing concerns financially and politically and culturally, relationships and all these things, to really breathe in and take in the miracles that are around us all the time. And so this underlying awareness of beauty and abundance and benevolence, I think, is really attacked and suppressed in our society by the herding complex. Animal agriculture is the opposite of that. It's, you know, beings are born this beautiful, you know, being like a hen, a chicken, you know, laying an egg, and then inside the egg, all these miraculous things are happening, and then this beautiful little chick just, you know, is inside and finally has this yearning to peck out of the egg with this joyful, life-affirming yearning to grow and to live and to celebrate, and the mother is right there to welcome the little being and protect her or him and show and teach, eat this, don't eat that, and here we are in the jungles of Southeast Asia, you know, we're living our lives, but, you know, by the billions, there's beings that are born every day into human captivity and are immediately harmed. You know, they're, you know, it's terrible to think of, and I won't go into it because, you know, it's disturbing, but that's what's happening. The little chicks are are terribly abused. And so the little calves and little pigs and the little sheep and goats and little fishes, all of them. And so I think that awareness for us is one of the things that makes it so difficult for us to be happy as activists, and yet there's also a positive vision that is available to us, that this fundamental life force is positive. Animal agriculture is the problem. You know, being born into a society organized around herding animals has unfortunately disconnected us at such a deep level as a society and as individuals from this basic sense of benevolence and joy and kinship with all living beings. And it's just repressed in our capitalist economic system, in our religions, in our educational system especially, I think. It's really the way we, in our medical system, in our birthing systems, in our governance systems, in our family systems, in all the systems and institutions in our society are permeated by the mentality of animal agriculture, because that's our primary ritual, and socially. And then I think the deep sense of shame and disconnectedness at what we're doing, that disconnects us from each other and from the beauty of nature, and really, I think, from the source of our life, so that we're not comfortable with ourselves to sit quietly and contemplate the ripples of our lives. So as vegans, we have this fantastic liberation that we have experienced. Maybe we just didn't want to be sick and we moved to a plant-based way of eating for health reasons, but that's a huge thing. And when we understand the significance of that and deepen our motivation so that we're doing it as an expression of compassion and empathy and kindness and caring for animals and wildlife and hungry people and future generations and ecosystems, then suddenly our life has a whole different foundation where we can be comfortable more and more, I think, really be comfortable in our consciousness. We can sit back and feel into our life and what we're eating, what we're saying, what we're doing, and have a sense of self-respect, which I don't think you can have. And I don't think anyone can have that if we're eating animal-based foods and not respecting other beings, because there's really no way to respect beings and kill them unnecessarily. So in our world today, virtually all of us, I think, are capable of thriving on plant-based ways of eating without causing suffering to other beings. So the point of my essay is to just take time to savor the positive future that we are building every day, and to see it unfolding, to feel it unfolding, and to think about the fact that by moving away from eating animal foods, we're freeing up land that, we know the statistics, it's like 12 to 1, 12 times as much land is required to feed someone eating a standard Western diet as someone eating a totally plant-based diet, especially organic, or veganic. And so this is, this is just tremendous to be aware that as we stop eating animal foods and as we spread this message and share it with other people, and more people abandon this practice of enslaving and killing animals and move toward plant-based agriculture, that we're liberating not just animals but huge amounts of land that can be forests and grasslands and prairies and wetlands and the oceans also, which are being strip mined for fish, can be healed, and the lakes and the streams and the rivers and the aquifers and the climate and the soil. I mean, all this just tremendous healing of the earth that will take place as we stop eating animals, and that I think we know in our bones that it will happen sooner or later. We've got this all. What has a beginning has an end. So, animal agriculture had a beginning around 10,000 years ago, and it will have an end, one way or the other. And I don't think it's too far off. And hopefully, it's from by our own choice, by our evolution. And a revolution, really, in many ways, and a benevolent revolution, that we are no longer eating these animals. And so the liberation of the earth, the liberation of ecosystems, of healthy soil and water, and air and clouds and climate and, you know, all of that. And then the liberation of habitats for beings, and then beyond that, the liberation of habitats for human beings. You know, we'll have a lot more land for wildlife, and when we're free from hunting and fishing and growing grains to feed animals, I mean, we can feed everyone on a very small fraction of the land we're using. So there's plenty of room for free-living animals to thrive, and also free-living humans. Plenty of room for more sustainable communities. If people want to live in cities, you know, okay. I mean, but I think we can live in smaller communities that are sustainable for energy and food, really with the technology we already have, very easily. So, and maybe with more what Gandhi called appropriate technology, simpler technology. I think, really, in many ways, our technocracy is enslaving us, and the more we dominate and exploit animals, the more we create a technology that dominates and exploits human beings through surveillance and war and violent technologies that could easily obliterate all life on this planet right now. So this idea of the natural abundance of the earth and feeling that and savoring that every day, that we can feed everyone. So as we move to a plant-based way of eating and living and help educate other people about the benefits of this, we're building, actually, you know, we're creating the conceptual framework for another way of living, and in reality, another way of living, because this is happening. You know, I just read, you all probably heard about it, like the oldest dairy in the state of California just abandoned the dairy operation to grow almonds for almond milk. You know, it just makes financial sense, and it's so much more rewarding for the farmers. Instead of having to milk cows, pregnate them against their will, steal their babies, kill their babies, grow all these toxic grains. I mean, the way they grow, they just go through the Central Valley of California, and it's almost horrific stench there, the pollution and the wastage of water and the destruction of soil and the air pollution and all of the diseases that are just permeating our society from dairy. You know, they're getting out because it's financially doesn't work anymore. But at a deeper level, I think spiritually it doesn't work, and we're awakening to that. So we're seeing this future is coming into view. It's very blurry right now. It's, you know, you can kind of hardly see it, but it's getting more and more focused. And each one of us, I think, has a part to play. And we can look at the enormous positive changes and again, savor them in our bones, in our flesh, in our skin, in our mind, to feel how beautiful it is and will be. And the future and the present are not ultimately separated. So just get a sense of it's already happening, right? If you look deeply into an acorn, you can see the oak tree. The oak tree is right there. There's time in between, but in many ways, time is an illusion created by our apparatus, our conceptual apparatus. So we can look deeply into the seeds we're planting, the acorns that each one of us are and are planting, and see the future. That oak tree is already there. You know, the world that we're building in our consciousness is already manifest. It's manifesting in us, in our lives, in our relationships, in our food, in our meals, and in our it's spreading. So the healing of this is absolutely phenomenal, of ecosystems, of our society. I mean, thinking of the tremendous joy that will burst forth on this earth when everyone is fed. There's no more hunger. There's, you know, hunger is one of the most devastating forces of violence and misery on our planet. When people are chronically hungry and cannot get enough food to eat, and we have easily within our grasp right now the capacity to feed everyone. We're growing enough food every year to feed way more people than we have on the planet. It's just simply a matter of moving away from animal agriculture and feeding the grains that we're growing, or similar grains and legumes, to hungry people. There's nothing stopping us. We have plenty of money to do it. we could spend a tiny fraction of what we're spending on wars and overthrowing regimes, if we spent that on feeding people, everyone would be fed. And I think that the deep connection of the human family that we have with each other, with other human beings, we are all one family. I think at a very deep level we know that. And we can trace back, if we go deeply into our ancestors and our ancestors of our friends and the ancestors of our neighbors, even the ancestors of other races, we go back to basically common ancestors. We go back to basically a fundamental kinship in consciousness that we share. So when we're living in a society where we just don't care about people in our family who are hungry and starving and being abused and the injustice of that, it harms all of us. So veganism is a practical and emphatic response to that situation, saying, yes, I'm going to eat lower on the food chain so there's enough for everyone to eat, and I'm going to be an example for this and do the best I can to share this with other people. So we're creating the healing not only of our earth but of our society, and creating the possibility of very beautiful work instead of the horrible work. I mean, you know, the killing animals for food is probably the worst work you can imagine, stabbing animals all day, imprisoning them, forcing animals to be born into captivity. And the beautiful work of working in harmony with nature to grow plants that give freely vegetables and fruits and nuts and seeds and grains and so forth, we can just only marvel at the beauty and deliciousness and nutritional, nutritional abundance of these foods. It's been so great. Here I am, I'm almost my 40th year in a couple of months, it'll be 40 years, and I'm not the only one, right? I mean, so many people understand this, that moving to a plant-based way of eating is just the best thing we can do for our physical body. Organic, whole food, plant-based way of eating. You know, Madeline's videos show this, and of course the writings we do, and everything, folks, what you folks are doing, all help us to understand this. And this message is just now permeating our society, in spite of the fact that the mass media does not want it to get out. It's getting out anyway. People are creating videos and creating lecture series and music and art and cooking classes and all kinds, you know, discussion groups and social media, all these things to help question the narrative of animal agriculture and the very cynical attitudes that underlie animal agriculture. There'll always be war, there'll always be domination. Yeah, that this is just the way it's set up. You know, this kind of rationalization of violence it's a narrative that creates more violence. So what we're doing essentially is creating a new narrative that's based on the truth of our physiology, that we are all designed for animal-based foods, of our psychology, that we're all uncomfortable with gratuitous violence. Everyone is. I mean, you know, we have to be very wounded to be not uncomfortable with that. And we are wounded. That's one of the reasons we're able to live in a society where there's so much violence around us and within us and not question it. It's because of the woundedness. And as we heal those wounds, of course, the sense of the injustice and misery of other beings and the intolerable reality of that gets more and more vivid for us. You know, I think I mentioned this during our retreat, that old saying that samsara, which is the suffering of unenlightened living, basically, this unenlightened, when we're basically asleep or our mind is clouded with ignorance and we're competing with others, we're trying to get what we want, we're using other beings as instruments to manipulate to get what we want, and using animals and, you know, all of that. There's a lot of suffering in that. Just living that way is a lot of suffering, but in the Buddhist teaching, they say that most people have armor on. You know, we've been so wounded that we've put on armor. And so that our experiencing of that suffering is sort of unconscious. It's not really conscious. They say it's kind of like when you have a hair and you're rubbing the hair on the palm of your hand. You can hardly feel it. You know, it's not bad. It's just, you know, yeah, not too bad. But for someone who's on the path of spiritual awakening, the inherent suffering of ignorance and living in this world of samsara, of violence and delusion. It's like that hair, instead of rubbing on the palm of our hand, it's rubbing right on our eyeball, you know, and that hurts, right? It's very uncomfortable. Our eye is very sensitive. Well, that's what happens to us. As we awaken, we get more sensitive. We begin to feel everything very deeply, and it can be really difficult. That's one of the biggest problems, and I think many of us face on this path, is that we get sensitized to the suffering in our world. And as we awaken and become more open and vulnerable, we take the layers of armor off, and it can be very excruciating to have to experience, you know, to be experiencing that. So that's why I think it's very important to consciously cultivate this savoring of the positive future that we're creating. Because yes, there is a reality of violence and abuse of other beings, and I'm never saying we shouldn't be very aware of that. But the thing is to also remember that we're building something that is beautiful, and that we can focus on that, focus on building and creating. We don't have to tear down and destroy this other system. We become more like the system when we do that. So feeling into the beauty of the society that we can create, of the physical body that we can create, of the psychological body that we can create, the mental body, the emotional body that we can create, the spiritual body that we're building. Because guaranteed, when we leave this physical body, it's not over. You know, I mean, we're going to be going on to our next experience. And the quality of our consciousness will determine the body that we're in. You know, we're always in a body of some kind, whether it's a physical body or some other non-material substance. So, and our body being the larger realm that we're living in. So, as consciousness, we are infinite and eternal, and we'll always be experiencing. We'll be aware, and we'll be experiencing basically a mirror of our own consciousness. So it's very important, I think, to realize that this human life is brief. We're here on this earth. We have an assignment, in a sense, probably a mission, something that we've chosen for ourselves at a very deep level to work on and to challenge ourselves and to learn and grow and the great adventure of this life. And then we go on, and it's a continuation. So to always keep in mind that the larger picture, that what we are is eternal and all beings are eternal as well. So we can see that when we see them. Other human beings, you know, we're wounded temporarily. It's kind of like a drama. You know, we come onto the stage. Each one of us is an actor or an actress in the drama. And while we're in it, we're really convinced of our roles, and we play them to the hilt. And there's some people play the role of the good guy, and some people play the role of the bad guy, maybe, or, you know, the rich one or the poor one or the victim or the abuser or the, you know, so forth. And during the play, it's all very real, but it's always fun, you know, to remember that when the play is over, then everybody goes backstage and takes their masks off and takes their costumes off. And the enemies are laughing and having tea together and enjoying each other's company. And because they, you know, it's very obvious. It was just a role. It was just roles we were playing. It's not our true nature. And so it's the same thing. We're going to leave as Shakespeare said, you know, we strut on the stage for a few minutes here, and then we go on. So to keep in mind this benevolent future that we're building with every thought, word, and deed, that it's significant that to create a world for our children where there's a possibility of a really beautiful way of living, and to see that technology is not the answer to our problems. It's really technology is just tools that we will use based on where we're at in our evolution. The way forward is to reconnect with the inner technologies of of silence and awareness and a sensitivity to the greater capacities that we have in using those capacities. I think this is the great frontier. In my article, I had the quote by Nikola Tesla, which I don't have the article in front of me right now, but he said something like, when science begins to recognize non-material reality, it will make more progress in a decade than in all the centuries before. And I think he is really onto something. This materialism in our society, which is founded in animal agriculture, reducing everything to matter, has absolutely crippled our science and our religion and everything else and our knowledge. And so our science is so feeble in its attempt to understand reality or to create something that's helpful, really, for us as humans. So many scientists are working on things that are just unspeakably horrible and destructive. So the whole idea, I think, is to focus instead on the inner technologies of communication and communicating with animals, for example, and realizing that these other beings that are here on this planet, once we quiet our minds and stop abusing them, hunting them and confining them and everything else, then and owning them as property, as pets and so forth, but really letting them live their lives and not taking their sovereignty, then when that type of a society, when we mature to that type of society, we'll have relationships with these animals that we can't even imagine. I say in the article, it's like a caterpillar trying to imagine what life would be like beyond the chrysalis. It's like probably impossible to imagine. But, for us to imagine what we'll be like beyond animal agriculture, I think it's so beautiful, and yet it's the type of governance systems, family systems, or whatever, economic systems, I think will be so much more fulfilling and satisfying and based on our true nature rather than on domination and exploitation of each other and the earth. And that's really hard for us even to imagine, because we're just born into a system of violence from the time everything. It's in the foods that our mother and father were eating. It's in their sperm. It's in their egg. It builds the cells of our bodies. So we're talking about a transformation that will take probably a few generations. But it's just beautiful, I think, to remember that this is a possibility, that this is what we're working for, and it's more glorious than we can imagine with our current state of consciousness. Sometimes when I'm playing music in the morning, I just certain chords I just play, and or chord patterns or rhythms, and I can feel it. There's something beyond this world or beyond the known world of our separate self and our concepts and our training and all the pressing obligations of the day that is just moving us. There's something moving through us that's propelling us at a deep level. And we're seeing that these old systems are obsolete, and I can just feel it. More and more people are waking up to this positive future and are working to help bring it into manifestation. Trusting, I think, in many ways, that the door that's right in front of us, which is the vegan doorway, when we start to move through that doorway, then we'll see more doorways opening up. A lot of people want to know, well, what do we do about the capitalist economic system or whatever economic system we're dealing with, and this ridiculous representative democracy so-called thing. It's all so much corruption. And I just think we need to get through this vegan doorway at least partway through, and then we'll be able to see more clearly some of the other doorways that will be opening up to us when our consciousness matures to the point that we can live with each other in much more harmonious and wise ways than we're capable of right now because of our woundedness. It's not our fault. And I have to say, I think people are doing amazingly well considering the amount of woundedness that everyone is enduring. There's just an enormous amount of woundedness that people go through, being born on this and eating these foods and so forth. So the whole idea, I think, is to understand that considering the amount of domination and violence and exploitation and programming and propaganda we're exposed to, we're able to evolve to the point where we're having this call right now, and to go forth and share and create in a positive way a whole another way of living. It shows, you know, the power of consciousness. But I think really in many ways there is this sort of existential battle between the light and the dark, or between awareness and ignorance. And veganism is a powerful stand for inclusion and kindness and caring for all living beings, for all expressions of life. It's really making a stand at the deepest possible level and committing to that, making that commitment, and then using our wisdom to know what's the best way to let this commitment manifest in the world. And a lot of people in the beginning think that the best way to, you know, if I'm really committed, then I've got to really yell really loud, you know, or I've got to shake them really hard, or I've got to, you know. But then we begin to realize that commitment is not just, that's sort of a materialist viewpoint. Commitment is actually being committed to being effective in bringing this message. And how are we effective? That's the key. We have to be willing to not be right, or to listen to other people, or to maybe be made fun of, or whatever it is. You know, we have to be willing to put in the effort to change ourselves and to try new things and to stretch our boundaries so we can be a voice for the animals and for this beautiful beckoning future that we're working towards. So that's, I think, really, you know, the challenge. And the other thing that goes along with it that I want to emphasize is the skill, I have to say, the skill, the, you know, practicing and developing the skill of understanding how narrative is the glue, in a sense, that holds everything together. That narrative is the propeller, really, of our society. There's no way, I don't think, to really overemphasize the power of narrative. When I say narrative, I mean the story that we're told, that is being told for us. It's everything. You know, we're born into a story, and we're continually being bombarded with a particular story. And the basic thing is, whoever controls that narrative controls everyone at the deepest level. We're not able to get outside of the story. We're not able to get outside of the control of a story unless we question it, question the narrative, and create a new one. And I've just become so aware of this. I mean, that's the main thing we do as vegans, right? I mean, that's it. It's questioning the narrative of animal agriculture, of eating animal foods. And I just want to encourage everyone to practice questioning the narrative and developing the ability to understand what's really going on in the world. You know, to know what's really going on in the world is a skill that we can develop with practice. And it's like anything, when I'm learning the piano or learning how to crochet or whatever it is, I'm not very good in the beginning. I make a lot of bad notes and I have to redo everything. It's the same thing for really understanding what's going on in the world. You know, most of us believe the media. We actually believe the New York Times and CNN and NPR, and we believe the stories that were told about history, what happened in World War I and World War II and on 9/11 and what happened to the Romans and how people used to live before we had civilization, and, you know, I mean, how women should act, how men should act. It goes on and on. I mean, the narrative is everything. And so we're questioning one key component of that when going vegan. And what I'm finding a great liberation is to question more and more of it. Just like, don't stop ever questioning all of this. Because the narrative about everything, there's always a narrative. And to realize that it's not true. Most of it is really not true. And it's everything is different than what we are told. And you know, I don't want to get into all that specifically because it takes us far afield. But veganism fits into this. in a deep level. And so the idea of our relationship with animals and nature, you know, the narrative, I mean, the idea that we can run and play and be good friends with wild, free-living animals, for example, that we have capacity, that we don't need to go to school to unfold our capacity to read and do whatever, you know, all kinds of skills that people think we have to go to school to develop, that we can educate ourselves and educate each other much more effectively than by imprisoning our children in these prisons. I mean, there's so many things that we can question, and but like I say, it's a skill that we have to practice. We have to work on it every day. I think. I mean, it's like, at least that's how I found it. Like playing the piano, it's actually, you know, a certain practice, and knowing what's going on in the world, not relying on the media, questioning narratives, understanding what's really happening behind the deep levels. It's really a fine art, but I think it's something that's really worth pursuing. And it goes along with meditation practice, you know, becoming more intuitive and being aware, more sensitive. And so that all these things, I think, support each other. And the whole idea underlying all of it, from my point of view, is that it's important for us not to put other people down or say we have the right answer and they're not, they don't, and we have the right way of doing it. But to build a vegan movement that uses the strengths of everyone more in harmony rather than in competition with each other, that can happen. And then finally, just the good news that all of the animals that we're eating are right now, already, right this minute, are living their lives freely in nature, the way they did for millions of years. And I just love that. Like right now, we can go to the jungles of Southeast Asia, and there are actually chickens up in the trees there, living their lives like they've done for millions of years, celebrating their lives in nature. And that chickens can keep doing that. And we don't have to, you know, as going as vegans, we're basically saying go back to your to your true nature and live there. We're not going to take you and pull you out forcefully, stick you in a cage. And the same thing is true of ducks and geese. And thing is true of pigs. And just the other day, I took a walk across the road into the wilderness, and all of a sudden, there's these wild pigs running around me. They're so cute, you know. And these are the descendants of pigs that were big and fat, you know, raised in animal agriculture. And it's so neat to see that they, within a few generations, they just lose all that breeding and become very adept at living in nature. So it's great. You know, sheep and goats, the same thing. They're living freely in nature. I've seen wild sheep and wild goats up in the mountains. And fishes, of course, all the factory farm fishes, but they're living freely. The only one, actually, that not quite, you know, is the cow. There aren't any actually wild cows running around anymore. But there were up until just, you know, 300 years ago. We killed the last wild cow, but they could be easily reintroduced. So the whole idea is that we need to stop, obviously, animal agriculture, the mass extinction of species, and allow species to live in their habitats again. And when we do that, we'll come back to our own habitat of freedom and no longer live in these artificial environments that separate us from nature and from each other, but reconnect more deeply with the beauty of this earth and the possibilities that we have. So that's something I really wanted to talk about today, is just the this vision of a positive future, and let that draw us forward rather than feeling like we're being propelled by all these nightmares of animal agriculture, or that we're in a present where it's just misery for all these animals. Understand that those are two aspects that have a reality to them, but also that there is a future, a potential future that's very positive, that we can build every day and focus on that. And whatever we focus on expands. So if we're focusing on this positive creativity and joy and love and building all of our relationships with other human animals as well as non-human animals to be a reflection of that, then pretty soon we're going to start living in a different way. And our veganism goes deeper and deeper and deeper. And there's no end to how deep veganism can go. I think we're just still scratching the surface. And maybe the great enlightened masters like the Buddha and so forth scratch the surface a little deeper, but even they, I think we're just scratching the surface. We're all, I think, in really in an adventure of awakening. All right, so thank you all for listening. I see that there is someone. Jeanette has her hand up, I think. So I'm going to go ahead and unmute your phone. Jeanette, are you there? Do you want to say anything, or was that from before? I don't want to put you on the spot here, but
I think that was from before. I didn't know I still had my hand raised.
Okay. Okay. Very good.
okay. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. So so that's pretty much what I wanted to say. And if anyone would like to contribute anything, I'd love to hear it. But I know we're getting a little bit. We still have another 10 or 15 minutes. So if anyone has something that you would like to add to what I'm saying, or take away, or any questions about that, feel free to press star 6. And I also, of course, have a few other things I'm happy to talk about as well before we wrap up our time here. And so I'm just going to double check. I have two different screens here I have to look at. And well, thank you all so much for being with us. And I notice we're joined by Judy Carmen on the call. Judy, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I know Judy's going to be leaving, I think, maybe in a day or two for a conference in Las Vegas. And I was thinking it might be nice to hear a little bit about that, and then also to plant the seed for the upcoming conference at Unity Village on veganism. And so, Judy, I'll go ahead if it's all right with you, if you're there.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Okay, good. Hi. Yeah, I can hear you. Thanks.
Okay. Hi, everybody.
Yeah, everybody says hi, I guess. Yeah, I was just wondering if you could share a little bit, because I know you're heading to this, I don't know really much about it, but a conference that you think could be a good opportunity to spread the vegan message in Las Vegas this weekend?
Yes. Lisa Levinson and I are going to have a table there. It's called the World Education Summit. Hmm. And it's going to be primarily environmental people there. But Jane Velez Mitchell is one of the featured speakers. And,
great.
Of course, she's vegan. And we mm-hmm. think she's trying to get permission to show her film, and which is about veganism. And Lisa's going to give a talk, and we'll have a table mm-hmm. there, which In Defense of Animals is it'll be an In Defense of
yeah.
Animals table.
Right.
But we'll have
right.
tons of literature there. And I'll have your book there, Will, to sell, and
uh-huh.
some of Silas Rao's books also.
Uh-huh.
And I believe Lisa is going to give Silas's PowerPoint talk.
Uh-huh.
And, of course,
on
we were
climate
hoping,
change, probably, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
On climate change, is it?
Yeah.
Or more than that. I think it's on species and everything. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just all of his statistics that he
right.
has about extinction and the Vegan World 2026 goal that
right.
he has to turn the world vegan by 2026 in order
right.
to prevent further extinction and so forth.
Right.
So,
right.
So he has given her the PowerPoint. I'm not sure exactly which one it is, but it'll
uh-huh.
have a lot of information about environmental degradation and rewilding the planet and all that good stuff. So,
oh, good. Mm-hmm.
And then we just found out that there's going to be an eco fashion show and a formal dinner on Saturday night. And since I don't have anything formal to wear, I will go and kind of hide in the background. But anyway,
mm-hmm.
that is going to be all vegan.
Oh, great.
At least that's
really
what
good.
We were told. So we're awfully excited about that. And we think that we don't know a lot of these people, but one of the people
yeah.
that contacted Lisa contacted her because she runs the sustainability program for In Defense of Animals. However, it's about sustainable activism. It's not necessarily
oh.
sustainability in the environmental sense. But
right.
the person who contacted her was vegan, and so this is things happen like this. Like you say, that the angels are really working with us to
make
things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
there we will be, and there will be some vegans, of course, but there will be a lot of
pre-vegans. It'll be virtually all pre-vegans.
And we'll be at the table all day Saturday talking to as many people as we can about how really one way to look at it is it isn't so much an animal rights movement anymore as it is literally like you've been talking about this evening, is creating an entirely new way of living.
And so
we can't, in a way, it's not just animal rights anymore. I think people are starting to see that all the issues work together, and we cannot have a clean environment unless we're also giving rights to animals.
Right.
So you can't even separate the issues anymore.
Right, right.
So
that'll
be a big thing that we'll be talking about and sharing.
So
we're pretty excited. I'm going to leave tomorrow, and
we'll
be back Sunday. So it's just a day-long thing, but...
I see. One day. Okay.
We'll be talking.
Right.
Then the other thing you mentioned is our conference that we're planning for September 10th through the 13th at Unity Village, which is in Kansas City. We don't have a lot of retreats and animal rights things going on here, but although that's on the increase. But this, we're very excited about it, and Will is going to be one of the featured speakers, along with Victoria Moran, and whom probably most of you have heard of her. And so it's just going to
be... Dr. Milton Mills, too, was speaking.
Dr.
He's
Milton
great.
Dr. Milton Mills and Lisa
Kemmerer. And Lisa Kemmerer, right. And it's so great. It's at Unity Village, which was originally... basically a vegan movement. It's the headquarters for the worldwide Unity movement, but they've gone so far away from that pretty much.
Exactly.
But now they're coming back. You know, that's what we've been working for decades, trying to bring them back towards that. So this is the first time they've ever had something vegan, a vegan conference, you know, I think probably ever. I mean, maybe back in the old days they were primarily always was vegetarian. But then they started eating meat in the 60s, and so this will be planting some seeds in the positive direction. So I hope everyone who's listening can join us and tell your friends. It should be a wonderful, you know, kind of a retreat with workshops and, of course, vegan speakers, meditation. There's a labyrinth there, yoga, walking trails, rituals, and, you know, it'll be just, a great opportunity.
Well, and we're hoping that a lot of ministers will come because we want to help them see that this is the way of the future, first of all. It's totally in sync with the founders of Unity for a very good reason, because they could see how important it was and to have a nonviolent world. And we're really hoping we'll get some ministers. So if any of you all know ministers that might be influenced, even if they don't want to be vegan themselves, they no doubt by now have vegan members, and they need to know more.
Yeah, it's in their best interest. Right,
It's
in their best interest to have happy congregants who are vegans, because a lot of vegans just leave. They can't stand it.
Yeah, that's so true, yeah. So the website to go to see more about this is thespiritualforum.org/vegan-retreat.
Right, yeah. Thespiritualforum.org, that's the... that's at Unity Village, I guess, the spiritual form.
Well, it's Carol Saunders, Reverend Carol Saunders, her website. So she's hosting the information about it.
All right, and it'll be on Unity Village's website,
yes,
I'm sure.
Yes, I think it's already on there.
Yeah.
But the way to register is through the one I gave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll put a link to that in when I send out the email to everybody afterwards.
Oh, great.
Thanks. Good. All right. Well, thanks so much, Judy. It's great to hear your voice, and we wish you. We all join in wishing you a wonderful time there, and making lots of ripples, as I was saying.
Yeah.
Earlier.
Well, all the
planting seeds and making ripples
for all of you and all the animals.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting me talk about it.
Great. Okay.
Okay.
See you later.
Okay.
Thanks so much,
bye-bye.
Judy. Yeah, bye. Yeah, so a couple more things here. I know now we're getting really close to being over, but in terms of planting seeds, I think it's really neat to see how this film by Thomas Wade Jackson called Prayer for Compassion is really doing well. Right now, he's in India with Silas Rao. You know, last month I wanted to have Dr. Silas Rao join us. But and then I said, well, how about joining us in November? And he said, well, I'm going to be in India. So he and Thomas are there in India, and they're showing the film A Prayer for Compassion in Mumbai and a bunch of other cities in India, which I think is great. You know, it's really bringing this message to people all over the world. It's showing the universal truths in Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism, Jainism, Christianity, Judaism, you know, all the different traditions, Islam, of compassion and respect for animals, and how to make that alive again, more alive within the spiritual tradition or religious traditions of our planet. So I think it's a great, I think, in fact, it's today, I just realized today is the first day that the film, documentary film, Pray for Compassion, which actually I'm in, Judy's in it also, is available. Online, you can. You know, today's the first day, the 21st. You can go to Vimeo, and you can get it. You can watch it right on your computer. I think it costs like a couple of dollars or something, $5 or something. But you can watch it. So that's fantastic. So now it's into the next stage where it's going to be more and more available on the internet to share with people and get the message out there that way. It's done really well. It's been shown in a lot of theaters and at a lot of veg fests and conferences and so forth. In fact, a week from today, Madeline and I, before we fly to Bali, we're going to be going into Santa Rosa, and they're having their annual Thanksgiving Vegan Feast, which is a big event in Santa Rosa. Lots of people go. And so we'll be there for that, and I'll be doing a short talk and a prayer for the animals, and then we'll be showing the film, Prayer for Compassion, after the meal, and leading a Q&A about the film, and then we'll be heading on, then we'll head to the airport. So, but I think it's a great thing to do, you know, in your community, just have a screening of Prayer for Compassion at a local library or local community center or local church, and have discussions about it. It's made a lot of people go vegan. These videos work really well. Game Changers is another really great one. So many people are going vegan because of the Game Changers right now. I've been reading. It's really having a big impact, especially on men, when they saw that you can really build more muscle and not have the usual problems of erectile dysfunction and so forth that so many men have by moving to a plant-based way of eating. So there's a lot of, you know, lots of great seeds are being planted, and this is another one. This vegan spirituality forum and retreat coming at the Unity Village in September. We're looking forward to that. So that's pretty much it. Between now and our next call in December, we will be traveling all over Southeast Asia, and you'll be with us in spirit and in our hearts as we do the best we can to plant some seeds. We're going to be joined by World Peace Diet facilitator Phil Nikazisis, who is also has spent time in Southeast Asia. He's been helping to arrange a lot of these lectures and so forth. And then going again to Taiwan, a fourth time in Taiwan, working with some great Buddhist groups there, some big Buddhist groups that are doing wonderful work to bring the vegan message to the world in really in great ways. They're doing such fantastic work. The Tzu Chi Foundation, which is right here, also they have branches all over the world, and they have one here where we live in Sonoma County, this area, and they deliver vegan food to disaster victims like after the recent fires. They're so service-oriented. They just really help people who are hungry and have lost their homes. All over the world, they do that. And these other groups, this other group has a huge network. They're like over 100, I think 120 organic, vegan health food stores all over Taiwan that they started. I think I told the story. They started with just one store and one farmer, and now it's a whole network. So we're going to be working with them, doing concerts, lectures, meditation retreats, and so forth. So Madeline is just coming in here, getting her wool. She's going to do some knitting, I can see, and she's kind of telling me it's time to end my call. So, thanks, Madeline. I think it's time to wrap things up. I really want to thank all of you from the bottom of my heart for all of the efforts that you're making. Please check out the resources. I apologize that I failed to put my new article up. I can't believe I did that. But anyway, I'll put it on the email that I sent out to everyone. But you can just go to willpeacediet.com, and just click on click on writings, and it's the current blog post. It's right there. It's easy. You can't miss it. And you can read more about my vision of a positive, beckoning future as a vegan world and how every day we're moving in that direction. And then there's lots of great stuff here, resources. This video, 10 Mind-Blowing Vegan Transformations, that's a great one. There's so many videos being done of vegan transformations, people that are fat and sick and nearly dead and now are thriving and happy, or who were in jail or who all kinds of things. And they transform their lives by moving to a plant-based way of eating for ethical reasons. So read some of these things. It's really very inspiring. Or watch some of these videos. There's a nice video about an article about this village in Israel. In Israel, there's a village of 800 residents. It's totally vegan, the whole thing. Very interesting how that's all happened. Billion Vegans is a new Amazon-like website for vegans. That was thanks to Christine and John McLarnon in Canada for pointing that out to me. And there's the ongoing collapse of the dairy industry and this rancher advocacy program is a wonderful video. You've got to watch this video it's very short, but about these chicken farmers in Arkansas. And they have mainly chickens, but also cows, ranchers. And they just couldn't do it anymore. There's too much violence. So they are now growing mushrooms. They're working on growing mushrooms. So this whole idea of transitioning away from ranching and farming of animals to plant-based agriculture and helping, supporting people doing that. Miyoko Shinner is working on that too, with Miyoko's cheese, to help dairy operators transition to other ways of living. So, there's many more things. Check everything out here. I don't take time to go into it, but fascinating stuff. So I guess that's probably everything for the moment. All right, everyone. Well, much love to all of you. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to seeing you in our mind's eye anyway, or maybe we'll see you literally when we're on Zoom. We can all be connected by video on December 19th, which will be the 20th for us in Taiwan. Otherwise, I'll let you know what the plan B is if we can't do it. All right. Much love to all of you. Thanks again for joining us.